Welcome to As for Football's Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. As for Football's Army Football Show is brought to you by Emblem Athletic. Sign up at emblemathletic.com and be a gear hero for your unit today.
So after a 33-point blowout at Georgia State, I thought cardiac cadets are no more. I can put my blood pressure medication away. It's going to be a great season. And then Western Kentucky had to come to town, and I was in the fetal position, hoping and praying to God that we recovered the third onside kick of the game. Yeah. What's up, everybody? It's Jordan in Atlanta, joined today by Dan in Coastal Connecticut, Rob in Fayetteville, North Carolina, James in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, recapping the Army-Western Kentucky game, as well as looking forward to Army-UConn. So how's everybody doing today? Dan, you were at the game. What did you see? What were you feeling?
Oh, man, I was feeling a lot. There was a lot of feelings, very many. We had a huge tailgate. I imbibed quite a few beers. I was the drunk old grad on my way up to the stadium. And then the sun was out. I got blasted by the sun. And then all the emotions. By the time we got back up to the lots, I felt like a wrong sponge. But it was so awesome. I mean, it really was a great, very exciting game.
Yeah. Rookie move, Dan. Like, you're the senior individual on this podcast, and tell me you got too drunk at your first Army game. Tisk,
oh,
tisk.
Man, scared money don't make no money. Come on now.
Hey, go hard or go home.
Yeah. We went hard. That's just all it was. No, but we did sit down, and my wife turns to me and she goes, "Oh crap, I left the sunscreen in the car." And I was like, "Well, it's a good thing I drank all that beer."
So. Yeah. The next most senior individual would be Rob in Fayetteville, aka the Angry Colonel. Sir, how are you feeling about Army's performance?
I was impressed in the first half, a little bit disappointed, but at the end I was happy. You know, they pulled it off. I hate the cardiac cadets. That's one of the things that always drives me insane sometimes. But when you look at how Western Kentucky basically imported their entire offense from the transfer portal, I mean, You expect that level of execution with guys that have been playing with each other for years, but you definitely would have liked a better performance. Still happy about the win, but it couldn't have been any uglier.
Yeah. James, what did you see over in Oklahoma City?
I think the same thing that you guys saw everywhere else. I hope, anyway.
Wow. You're so funny.
but specifically, the offense answered all of the unanswered questions from last week. The defense, particularly the secondary, left a lot to be desired and didn't answer some of those unanswered questions. So we'll see going forward. Luckily, we got a week here to sort of figure it out with UConn coming up. But that's what I saw.
Yeah. So we're going to get into that and so much more. But before we get started, a quick reminder, this show is brought to you by Emblem Athletic. Emblem is the source for all your custom sporting goods needs. Let them trick out your unit today, whether that unit is military, police, fire, your flag football team. Got a lot of newly commissioned second lieutenants out in the Army who are getting ready to report to their first units after they finish Bullock. Guys, if that's you, I'll make you a promise. The first thing they're going to ask you to do when you get to your unit is make new company t-shirts. This does not have to be hard. Go to emblemathletic.com. Do not have some specialist trying to draw a freaking thing on a napkin of what you want put on a t-shirt so you can go get a bunch of crappy Gildan tees. Go to Emblem Athletic. It's high quality stuff. Their artists will design your logo for you. Really, you just got to go answer some questions and they'll do the rest. It's high quality stuff. We've used them multiple times. Big supporter of the show. So go hit them up, support them and support us, and look good, feel good, and play good.
I got to say, Jordan, you can always tell when some unit has got a shirt that one of their specialists drew. Like, that's embarrassing. And you see it. Rob, tell me how many times you've seen this on various bases around the country.
Oh, all the time. And it's always like the super muscled out, like, pit bull or some freaking goofy innocuous skull with like a beret on it or whatever. It's like, come on, guys. You can be a little bit more original than that, or you can just turn over and jump on MLB Athletic, and I'm sure they'll get you squared away for sure.
Absolutely. Don't. Just don't. Just hit up Emblem. Mike Nemeth is a grad, and he does great things. So, moving on, Western Kentucky recap. Army beat Western Kentucky 38-35. On the show last week, we said this game would either be a shootout or a blowout, depending on how successful Army rushed the passer. Did a decent job earlier in the game. Saw a little bit of success in the second half, but really, he was kind of able to do whatever he wanted. We really struggled once Western Kentucky went into the hurry-up midway through the fourth quarter. Both teams finished with outstanding offensive stats, but Army had built a big lead early, and that really kind of gave us a cushion. Dan, do you want to take us through the offense and what you saw?
Yeah, in general, I think this was arguably the most balanced offense we've seen in a long time, probably since 2016. I thought Brent Davis called an outstanding game. I mean, I know we said that last week, but there was exactly one play that I didn't love, but I thought he was outstanding this week again. They ran the ball inside, outside, they threw the ball, they converted a freaking 4th-and-7 with a pass. I mean, is this Army? Unpredictable play calling for the most part. With overall execution, and they finished with 39 minutes and 38 seconds time of possession. That was decisive. You know, these guys from Western Kentucky needed like one more minute to win the game. It's pretty, mm-hmm. Yeah. Christian Anderson went 5 of 6 passing for 83.3%. On a percentage basis, he was the best passer on the field. That's insane. 77 yards and a touchdown. I think Army quarterbacks have missed 2 passes this year so far. Plus, he had 22 carries for 119 yards, 5.4 yards per carry. Seemed like he always came up with the big carry when they needed it. Slot back Tyrell Robinson, 7 carries for 81 yards, 11.6 yards per carry, and he got his first long rushing TD. Whoop! And fullback Jacoby Buchanan, 18 carries, 61 yards, 3.4 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns. And Anthony Adkins had 8 rushes for 30 yards. He had 1 touchdown, and unfortunately he had the 1 fumble, but yeah, this offense, with the exception of that fumble, and I'm sure we'll talk about that, the 4th-and-2 that they didn't convert, they were money all day with every single play.
Yeah, and to kind of reiterate your point, Brent Davis has been on the money this year. And maybe he's calling games the exact same as he did last year and the year before, and it's just working better this year. I don't know, but he has done a fantastic job, and the players on the field are executing. And even though Brent Davis has us blocked on Twitter, I just like to clarify for everyone out there, if we ever tweet, what was that play call? We're not criticizing anyone. We just maybe would have done it different. So we don't have all the facts, but we're trying to have a discussion. We're not trying to be mean and hurt people's feelings. So just
unless
getting
we
that
are.
Out there. Well,
we don't want to hurt Brent Davis's feelings, but we've been known to take a shot at Chet.
Yeah, well, Chet's a little different, all right? I mean, anyway.
Go ahead, James. Yeah, to Dan's point, he said there was one play call. I think there were two play calls that did make sense to me. One was that 4th-and-7 that we converted on a pass. The previous play was 3rd-and-7, and they tried passing. So if you know you're going to go
for it. The receiver dropped the ball. It was a perfect – there was nothing wrong with it. He just dropped it.
Yeah. Whether it's perfectly executed, perfectly drawn up, period. If you know you're going to go for it on 4th-and-7, why would you not run on 3rd-and-7? Like, you know it's
Army.
You know they can screw up a pass just by looking at it. Like, just run the ball, and at worst, it's 4th-and-7 again. And at best, it's a 1st down or a 4th-and-2, and now you have an option.
I don't agree with you on that one. He hit the kid in the hands, and the receiver dropped the ball. I mean, that's
right. And if it were another team that had receivers that caught balls regularly, I might agree, but it's Army. But the other one, which was the egregious one, which I think we agree on, was Army's center had been carted off the field earlier in the game, Connor Bishop, player of the week last week, and they had driven down the field without a single pass attempt, had gone from like maybe the 30-yard line or 40-yard line all the way down to the Western Kentucky 20. It's a 2nd-and-6. They're on schedule, and they drop back to pass. Anderson gets hit from behind, fumbles the ball. Luckily, Army follows up with, hops on it. But then, to his credit, Brent Davis dialed up a beauty and called a hard pitch fake to the right, followed by a reverse to the left, where the right guard and tackle peeled around and Anderson followed him for 15 yards. So he made up for it, but I didn't quite understand that play call.
Well, I got to say, I had a problem with neither of those. The pass at the end was a little surprising, but, you know, whatever. I get what they were trying to do. It just didn't work. The one that I didn't love was the fourth and two where they got stuffed. And I actually told my wife they're about to run inside, and I get that it's working. But and I also understand that they didn't want to risk putting the ball on the ground. But if they'd run the sweep there, they would have scored a touchdown. Because the whole Western Kentucky defense was bunched up inside looking for exactly the play that they ran.
Yeah, and you didn't have your starting center in at that point. Yeah. So if someone close to Brent Davis would like to tell him to unblock at Ask for Football on Twitter, James's Twitter handle is at Brigade Review, and he can go ahead and block him.
Excuse me.
He's James going criticizing right now. We're over here defending play calls.
I've already been blocked, Jordan.
Oh, excuse me. Okay. I think Dan's probably blocked too on his personal account. Either way.
Yes. No, I am. That's all right.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's what you want to see. James, I was going to give you the defense, but you just talked a lot, and I miss Rob's voice. So, Rob, you have the defense. James will take special teams.
All right, talking about the defense went well in the first half-ish, and then it kind of fell apart a little bit later. Western Kentucky was 7 for 10 on third down, but 0 for 2 in fourth down, which is a good stat. Bailey Zappa was 28 for 40 passing with 435 yards, 3 TDs, and a pick. Of note, Zappa came into this game defending as the NCAA pass leader in total yards for 2020. He had a rough second quarter, but he is pretty doggone good. The one interception was an outstanding play, which is a great read by Markwell Broughton. Besides that, I only saw one pass where he was off target. This dude is like throwing footballs through like a very, very small window, and he was hitting everything. But it also shows how good his receivers are as well. And it kind of helps, again, that you imported the whole team from I forget where they came from in the FCS, but they bought the whole organization together to include like the quarterback's coach and the OC. So smart move by Western Kentucky. It's going to help them win more games, but did not like it because it was against the Army defense. Army's defense still put in 3 sacks and 1 additional tackle for loss. They had 1 interception, as noted earlier, 2 fourth down stops. And by the way, they held Western Kentucky to 42 yards at 2.2 yards a carry. So bottom line is, if it wasn't for Zappy, they probably would have had no offense, which is pretty ridiculous. But again, sometimes when you build a scheme around a certain player, if that player shows up, you perform well. They fell a little bit short. Thank goodness for the Army team. And I will kick it over to James for the special teams review.
Special teams is great. Didn't have to punt, so that was nice. They did have their first block kick of the year. So classic Army is back. Sean Saturnio's got him back. It was a block punt. It didn't end up going backwards. It was more deflected, but it ended up being like a net 20-yard punt or something like that. Kicker Cole Talley made the difference maker field goal at the end of the game when Army got stopped on third down deep in Western Kentucky territory. I believe it was a 30-yarder. They recovered 3 onside kicks. You know, in a game when the final score is 38-35, you don't think that an Army defensive player is the player of the game. But Markel Broughton, in addition to the interception, recovered 2 of those 3 onside kicks. So he gets my player of the game sticker for this week, even though the offense was the reason that they won. Every normal kickoff in this game got a fair catch, you know, just save those 3 onside kicks. So special teams was better than average, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, we love that. Admittedly, I couldn't watch that that kick. I have a little PSD from the Yale game in 2014. So moving on to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Dan, why don't you go ahead and take us through the good?
Yeah, so as we said, Christian Anderson and this offense, and especially the offensive line, were great. The O-line got outstanding push up the middle. You know, a couple of times with that wedge blocking, they were just blowing the whole Western Kentucky D-line back, and those guys are not small. The passing game was terrific. You know, a couple of times I was like, how is this Army? Linebacker Spencer Jones led the teams with 6 tackles and 1 sack. I think he's a yearling, right? We saw him in the bowl game. Okay, yes, I will assume that he was.
I think. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he is. Anyway, outside linebacker Andre Carter had 1.5 sacks. Andre Carter leads the entire United States college football in sacks he has more than anyone at 4.5. Kwabena Bonsu had 4 tackles and 1 tackle for a loss, which is not quite Rob's 2 sacks plus 1 tackle for a loss, but it was a pretty good day. And, of course, we missed Ben Holden on the call, but I thought Jason Horowitz did really well. I watched the game back, at least most of it, yesterday when football NFL got out of hand. So I was impressed. And finally, he had a legendary tailgate. It was truly excellent until I got poached like an egg.
Yeah. James is the former WKDT broadcaster. What was your take on Jason Horowitz?
Oh, I mean, don't get me wrong. Mad respect for Ben Holden. Loved him calling Army games. But Jason Horowitz did a fantastic job. I thought that the CBS sports broadcast was phenomenal for their Army opener. I'm so much happier watching games on CBS Sports than I am on ESPN. Everything from the music to the announcing to the not having constant cutaways to every other game in college football. It was a superior product, and it showed this weekend, and Jason Horowitz was no small part of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, they can't cut away to other games in college football because they only have rights to one game at a time. Rob, why don't you take us through the bad, and then I'll cover the ugly.
All right, so the bad this week. Number one, the fumble on the first drive. I mean, it didn't end up mattering, but, you know, that could have cost the game a little bit later in the shootout if Western Kentucky could have converted that for points. Quarterback Jabari Moore dropped an interception in the second quarter. He made a great play, but he probably could have taken that back to the house if he would have got his grips on it. Busted coverage versus the hurry up. Admittedly, the offense was good, but there was a lot more opportunity for the receivers to get open over the top due to the hurry up offense. And that's a really dangerous style against this defense that we play because, again, it's all about packages and scheming. And if you can't get set correctly, it puts you at a disadvantage. Army had a bunch of injuries this game, including wide receiver Sean Eckert, who later showed up on crutches, Connor Bishop, who left on the cart, and Julian McDuffie went out with what looked like an ankle injury. And hopefully all of these young men get better soon, because we would like to see them back sometime this season for sure. And so, going to the ugly.
So Jeff Monkey gave an update on Connor Bishop a little earlier today, as reported by Sal, and he said 48 hours out from the injury. We don't know his status. He might be ready for this weekend, but we'll see. So Ross Tucker's prediction that he tore everything in his knee does not seem to be true, but we'll see. You know, obviously,
it's pretty scary.
Why would you risk it this week?
Look, I'm reading the tweet, James. I'm reading the tweet. All right. Got torched in the group chat earlier.
There's no reason to play any injured player this week.
James, I'm gonna put you on mute. I don't disagree with you for the record, though. Anyway, moving on to the ugly. So if you watched after the broadcast, you saw what a melee breakout. And I rewatched it multiple times. I got some inside information from a couple different sources. And basically what happened is this. After the game, Coach Monken goes over, shaking hands with Western Kentucky players, you know, pat him on the helmet, good game, shakes hands of a couple assistant coaches, goes over and talks to their head coach. Is it Trey Helton? I don't know.
Ty Helton.
Shaking hands. Midway through the conversation, Monken turns around and goes over to one of the Western Kentucky coaches and pretty much says to him, hey, stop saying F you to my guys. And so Western Kentucky coach does not like that, starts mouthing off to Monken. It looked like he was maybe pointing. Maybe he was using a different finger to point. Not sure. Regardless, one of the Western Kentucky coaches is pulling the assistant coach. Monken's kind of annoying, just ignoring him. Ty comes over to say something to Monken. You can see the look on Uncle Jeff's face and kind of read his lips. And Monken really wasn't having a lot of it. Ty Helton did not like that. He started mouthing off, started following after Monken. And that's when it all started. Players were getting involved. Coaches were getting involved. I think the Western Kentucky strength coach either pushed or punched a military police officer. Oh. So a lot of the fighting you saw on the field was not between the players. It was between the military police officers trying to restrain the Western Kentucky coach and the Western Kentucky coaches trying to pull their strength coach off the field. So not sure what happened after the game, but the military police followed them into the locker room, and I imagine that we will not be looking forward to scheduling them anytime soon. Regardless, Western Kentucky becomes the first team in something like 50 years to refuse to sing the alma mater with the Black Knights. That's ugly. It's not good. On the 20th memorial of 9/11, a bunch of rednecks from Kentucky are going to show up, start a fight with Army 50 miles north of New York City on 9/11. Really not a great look for the program. So that was the ugly. And then on the other podcast, I already kind of went off and probably made an enemy of Chet Glagchuk. So I'm not going to go on the rant I had. Did not love Ross Tucker's calling personally. You know, feel free to disagree. The things that he was saying were right and they made sense, but, you know, it felt like Jason was very even and middle and was objectively calling the game. And at least to me and a lot of other people on Twitter, it felt like Ross was actively rooting for Western Kentucky. So
I got to say, I saw those comments on Twitter and in the Firsty Club, and then I watched it back yesterday knowing the outcome, and I did not hear that. So okay. I think you guys were maybe a little caught up in the moment. Because it was, I mean, we were all like sweating bullets. I get the sense that Ross really likes his job calling Army football. So it defies logic that he wanted Western Kentucky to win. I don't believe that. But you know, I don't know. What do I know?
Yeah. Did anybody else hear anything different?
I didn't hear it. I saw you mention it, but I didn't hear it. I certainly was surprised, I think, when Western Kentucky started going on a rampage in the fourth quarter. And maybe that came off a bit gleeful, but I sort of interpret it as more of genuine surprise.
I mean, as a broadcaster, you're calling what looked like it was going to be a 3-score blowout, and mm-hmm. suddenly it turns into a nail biter. I mean, that's objectively good for your career. Sure.
Yeah, I think at that point he was just trying to hype the remainder of the game, regardless of outcome. I think that's what it was. Again, it may have come across the other way because Western Kentucky was actually performing a little bit better than they did in the first half, so it may have sounded a little bit more partial. But I think at the end of the day, it was a fairly even call.
All right. Well, maybe I'm off base, but either way, happy with the Army win and happy that, you know, Jason, you know, had a good play-by-play. Obviously, we miss Ben Holden. He's a fan of the show and a friend of the program. So, going to go ahead and move on to the fact or fiction review. And Dan said Tyrell Robinson will get his long touchdown this weekend. That was a fact. Dan was the only person that said it was a fact. So. I said Navy does not get a win this season, to be determined, but not looking great. If you haven't been following, Navy Athletic Director Chet Glagchuk fired the offensive coordinator after their loss to Air Force. We don't know whether or not Ken Niumatalolo was consulted in that, but the firing and the rehiring came from Chet, who then turned around and rehired Ivan Jasper as the quarterback's coach. So a lot of drama there right now. Rob said Bonsu gets 2 sacks and 1 tackle for loss. That was fiction, everybody, but Rob said fiction. And then James said Army has a player break the 100-yard rushing mark for the Western Kentucky game. That was fact. James and Rob right on that. So I don't know who did the best last week, but let's just call it even. Dan, as the native coastal elite New Englander, do you want to take us through the UConn preview up through the offense?
Yeah. So, friends, the University of Connecticut is terrible. They did not play in 2020. They have not won a game since October 26, 2019, and that was over UMass. Their last FBS win over a team besides UMass came way back on October 21st, 2017, when they beat Tulsa 20-14. This is a program that is so bad right now that it's actually a strategic problem for the University of Connecticut because they can't easily shut the program down, having just reinvested in all the facilities. And they don't apparently want to move back to the FCS, but the future looks totally hopeless. And then after they lost 2 weeks ago to Holy Cross, Coach Randy Edsall announced his retirement after the season, and they subsequently just fired him anyway. Video has since surfaced of the team quitting on their current acting head coach. Players look like they don't even want to be there. So, you know, I love Connecticut. It's a great state. Living on the coast in Connecticut is honestly awesome, and more people should do it, except I know that's expensive. What can you do? But this football team that represents our state, they are not good.
Yeah. James, offensively, what, if anything, do they have?
That's a great question. I'm writing the preview article right now, and the Army preview section is like three times the size as the UConn preview section, because I just don't know what to write. I don't want to call out players for being bad. Like, I don't want to go after UConn players, but I don't know what to say. Also, their OC is their new head coach. I don't know who's making the play calls, so we don't really know what they're trying to accomplish. They've certainly tried to air it out a lot. They've tried to be a passing team. They don't execute on that. But they're averaging under 200 yards of total offense, just under, I believe. And against non-FBS teams, they haven't scored a point this year. They've played two quarterbacks this season. Their combined completion percentage is a nick under 47%. They've thrown 345 yards in three games. They have three touchdowns in three games. They have four interceptions, and they've been sacked seven times. So maybe Bonzu will get his three TFLs and a sack this week. Running game is very meh. They're averaging 2.4 yards per carry. As Dan mentioned, they played Holy Cross, and their offense, you know, scored some points, but didn't. Their rushing offense didn't look very good. Wide receiver Keelan Marion is probably their best player. He's got four catches for 6 yards, but he's got two touchdowns on those. So
sorry, catches for 60 yards. That's a misprint there.
Okay, four for 60 and two touchdowns. So I mean, that's about it. And as I said, there's not a whole lot to say.
Yeah, that's not great. We'll see what happens. Rob, defensively, are they doing better defensively? Or, you know, are they pulling a Big Ten and, you know, great defense, or what are we dealing with?
All right, so the defense is a little bit better than the offense. They're better against the run than they are against the pass. They allow 298 yards per game in passing, about 189.7 yards per game rushing. They are 100th overall in the FBS against the run, which does not bode well for them taking on the Army team. They allowed 4.3 yards per carry and just four rushing TDs. So that's a pretty impressive statistic, but you also got to think that they didn't play last year. So those are almost two-year-old stats. And then the defensive linemen, Kevin Jones and Nick Harris, each have 1.5 sacks. So they can't get pressure from the interior line. But again, against Army, I don't know how much good that's going to do for them, but we'll see.
So, Rob, let's play a game, right? Let's pretend that you're offensive coordinator for Army. What are the first four plays you run against this UConn defense?
I'm going to run probably two straight dives, toss to the outside, and then play action. I think that's kind of a decent schedule for the first four plays, and particularly seeing that we've been executing well. And if Christian Anderson starts, I think, you know, the two fullback dives, depending on which fullback starts, can get you probably, you know, second and seven, first down, and then you run the toss on the first down at the ensuing play. Then second and three, second and four, and then you go deep. And I think you lull them into that false sense of security again, because every time Army passes, it's a surprise to both the Army team or the Army fans as well as the opposing team. So I think just keeping with that rhythm, you know, at some point, and it may be within the first 10 plays, it might not be the first four, but within the first 10 plays of the Army game, they need to throw at least one shot deep just to keep the safeties honest. Because when you start running all the misdirection, safety start biting and biting and biting, and you see that usually results in wide open receivers. And in the last game, there was two wide open receivers because the safety spit so hard on the play action.
Yeah. So, James, I'm going to go ahead and take you off mute for this. Knowing what we know about Army, knowing what we know about UConn, what do you think about Rob's game plan? Would you do the same thing if you're the offensive coordinator?
Well, I was going to ask him how many touchdowns those first four plays were going to constitute. Evidently, evidently no more than one. Yeah, I mean, why do anything but just run the triple option? I mean, you know you're going to do well with it. If you have to throw the ball, but don't give future teams more film to figure out when you're going to throw and what your tells are and things like that. I just run the triple option, and if they're absolutely begging you to pass because their safeties are 4 yards off the line of scrimmage, then do it. But just run the triple option until you're up by 3 or 4 touchdowns. Take out Anderson and put somebody else in and let them run the triple option until they score a couple touchdowns. Like, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of giving future opponents the secrets to our non-option plays.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. That's fair. Dan, close us out. Anything? And if not, go ahead and hit special teams.
All right. So kicker Joe McFadden missed one field goal of 40-plus yards, but he is 4 of 4 on extra points. Yeah, I don't know. If you want to know what I would do, fullback dive, midline, and then I would go straight for the jugular. And I disagree with James in the sense that you want to put as many passes on film as you can because you don't want those safeties biting because your offense is a running offense. So the further back those safeties are, the better you are on net. Although I have to say that if we see the same defense from Navy at the Army-Navy game this year, I expect they'll throw all over that defense for what it's worth. I haven't seen what we've seen so far.
I agree with you, Dan. I'll agree more with you when the Wisconsin game is done. I think that if we're going to beat Wisconsin, it'll take a lot of big chunk passing plays that are surprises, and I don't want them having that film. I'd rather get them biting and then throw and surprise them. But after that game's done and we don't have to worry about a massive skill differential, then yeah, I think you're right.
All right. Well, we'll talk about this next week. We'll see what they do. Who knows? Maybe they won't throw a pass.
Yeah. I wouldn't bet that they're not going to throw a pass, but who the heck knows? Either way, the line opened at Army minus 31.5. Currently, Army 33.5 or 34, depending on the book. Army minus 10,000 on the money line. Over-under sits at 51.5. CBS Sports has the game. Kickoff listed at noon. Weather, high 80s with a 40% chance of showers in the morning. Possible thunderstorms in the afternoon. Could be a wet, miserable day out there, but we'll see. Dan, what's your take overall?
Yeah, so I know that there are bettors who listen to this, especially on Patreon. Don't bet this game, because if it stays dry, you're going to see Army's offense rolling hot and they'll hang 60. If it rains, though, I think the coaches are going to put the backups in early, keep it simple, and try to slug it out to the safest possible victory. And why should they not do exactly that? That is a completely smart thing to do.
And we know that James agrees with that because he let us know. James, any other takes on this game?
Get the depth chart in. Get it rolling.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe some more freshmen will get to play. We'll see. Either way, it is time to move on to fact or fiction.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
Dan, why don't you go ahead and lead us off?
Yeah, so fact or fiction, quarterback Jabari Laws gets at least 2 full series. Rob?
I'm going to say fact.
All right, Jordan?
Fact.
James?
Fact.
I certainly hope he does. I will say fact, so we'll go fact agreement. This is definitely the opportunity for them to play all of these quarterbacks that they've got, which based on how things went last year and how many injuries we've already seen, they definitely need to do.
Yeah. Up next, I have that Army is going to pass for over 100 yards. James?
I hope not. I want to see these backups run the option. I'll go fiction.
Okay. Rob?
This is tough because it kind of goes into my fact or fiction as well, but I'm going to say fact.
Go ahead, Rob.
I was just going to say, when you're playing a defense that is not as good against the pass, like, this would be a great opportunity for coach to let all the quarterbacks get some reps in passing. I mean, if you're up by two or three scores, why not?
Yeah, this is a tough one because it's, you know, they threw that pass at the end of the Georgia State game up like 30 points. And the reason was because Georgia State had 11 guys in the box. It's like, why are you not going to pass? Obviously you pass against that. We may 1000% see that again. I'm going to say fiction, but I don't feel good about it.
All right. And, I'm going to go ahead and say fact. I just think that. Why the heck not? And we'll probably end up throwing it early and get, you know, 50, 60, 70 yards on one pass. And then from there, we just need a couple more chunk plays and we're good to go. Rob, what do you got?
So piling on to what Jordan just said, I think Army will have four passes in this game with one for a touchdown. And I'm going to say fact on that.
Is that attempts or completions?
Attempts.
Ooh. I'll begrudgingly say fact.
I will happily say fact on that one.
Yeah, that would actually be the season low, you know, tied for the season low of the year. I think that's, you know what? Screw it. I'll say fiction. I'm going to say the Army doesn't pass one time in this game.
Bold prediction from Dan. Let's see if he's right. And James?
Yeah, I got a similar question to Dan's Jabari Laws question. Anderson, if you set the over-under for complete drives that he has in this game, is it over-under four? I'm going under as the fact. So under four before they pull the starter.
I know what I think. I think there's no way. They'll definitely – that would be the first time I've ever seen them do that. So I think that's emphatically fiction. Although I think they should. I think you have to start Anderson, but I would play him no more than two drives.
Is you think if they're up 28-3 after four drives, they won't pull him?
No, I've never seen them do that before, even against an FCS team that they blew out by 70 points. But you know,
okay.
It's a unique opportunity to get, you know, a guy like Jamel Jones extended playing time. Which I would very much like to see them do, considering how much rotation we've already seen with the quarterbacks. You know, Jamel Jones is already he had a drive at Georgia State, but that only went like three or four plays, and then he came in for a play last week. I would like to see him get like a bunch of series here because, you know, right now they're one play away from having him be the starting quarterback. But you know, I don't know. What do I know? But no, I'd be really surprised if Anderson plays less than four drives.
I guess the difference is this time that there are a lot of backups that they really want to see in live game action.
That's true.
So who knows? Maybe it'll be different this time. Jordan, Rob, what do you got?
I'm going to say fiction, but I think that Anderson will play the entire first quarter, and then we'll see probably Laws, Jones, and Cade Ballard coming in off the bench.
Oh, yeah. He's going to have three drives in the first quarter?
I think they will because they'll get a turnover and then, you know, more than likely, I'm gonna put it out there. I think UConn will win the coin toss and kick off first. Army will score. They'll get a second quick turnaround and probably have three drives in the first quarter. It's possible.
That's totally possible.
But I definitely see Jamel Jones, Cade Ballard, and Jabari Laws like closing out this game for sure.
All right. And Jordan.
I agree with Rob and Dan. I'm going to go ahead and say fiction on this.
Okay. So I guess I am the lone fact.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. Either way, should be a good game. Reminder, it's noon on CBS Sports. Dan, why don't you close us out?
Yeah, so my favorite thing this week was just meeting a bunch of the members of our Firstie Club up in the lots. The tailgate was a little chaotic because there was honestly so many people up there. You know, there was a ton of my classmates plus a ton of cadets. But it was also fun as all heck. For those of you that we didn't get to meet, we're looking forward to meeting you in the next couple of weeks. We've already got a AFF tailgate scheduled. I am personally a little behind mailing out our mugs, but we gave out a bunch to people that we saw in person. So, you know, yeah, come by and find us if you're in the Firstie Club. Details about the tailgate will be posted in the Firstie Club on Facebook.
Awesome. And if you want to be a part of that, head on over to Patreon, join as a Firstie Club member. We'll get you in the Firstie Club. send you your mug. You get to hang out with Dan and the crew at games. If you're not interested in doing that, please make sure to follow the show. Leave a comment, subscribe, follow us on all kinds of social media. Anything you do to support the show, we appreciate. So with that, thank you for your support. Thank you for listening. And go Army, beat UConn.
Beat them.
As for Football would like to thank you for your continued support of the Army Football Podcast, As for Football, and Army Athletics. You can find us across all platforms of social media at As for Football. And as always, we would like to thank our sponsor, Emblem Athletic. Emblem Athletic is the source for all your custom sporting good needs. Be a gear hero for your unit today. Visit EmblemAthletic.com. Join the As for Football team for our next episode, coming soon to a podcast platform near you.